Hello, this is Samantha Shares. This episode covers NCUA's April 2024 board meeting. After skipping March, this meeting has only one agenda item: Records Preservation Program and Appendices Record Retention Guidelines, Catastrophic Act Preparedness Guidelines. The following is the audio of this board meeting. This podcast is educational and is not legal advice. We are sponsored by Credit Union Exam Solutions Incorporated, whose team has over 240 years of national credit union administration experience. We assist our clients with NCUA so they save time and money. If you are worried about a recent, upcoming, or in-process NCUA examination, reach out to learn how they can assist at marktreichel.com. Also, check out our other podcast called With Flying Colors, where we provide tips on how to achieve success with NCUA. And now here is the National Credit Union Administration's board meeting for April 2024.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. I call this meeting of the NCUA board to order. In addition to those joining us in the boardroom, I want to note for the record that today's meeting is open to the public through a live webcast as well. In fact, I am participating virtually in today's proceedings. As we begin today's agenda, it's my pleasure to welcome the newest member of the NCUA board's team, Renita Mercellin, who recently joined as the senior advisor to board member Otska. Renita, welcome aboard. I, along with the rest of the NCUA team, look forward to working together with you to achieve the agency's many mandates, including protecting consumers, advancing safety and soundness, and safeguarding the Share Insurance Fund. The sole item of business today is the Advance Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, Part 749, Records Preservation Program. Staff presenting are Kelly Lay, Director, Office of Examination and Insurance, and Matt Houston, Policy Officer, Office of Examination and Insurance. And joining them to answer questions is Gira Bose, Senior Staff Attorney, Office of General Counsel. Good morning, Kelly, Matt, and Gira. Matt, I understand that this is your first presentation at an open board meeting, so welcome to the board table. You're going to do great. Please
thank you.
When you are ready.
Good morning, Chairman Harper, Vice Chairman Hopman, and Board Member Otska. Today, we are seeking the board's approval to publish an Advance Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, or ANPR, addressing NCUA Regulation Part 749 and its appendices with a 60-day comment period. I would like to extend my appreciation to the members of the NCUA Working Group who reviewed this issue in detail over the last several months. This included representatives from the Office of Examination and Insurance, the Office of General Counsel, the Office of National Examinations and Supervision, and of course, the region. Their contributions and input were critical in helping bring this matter before you today. I will now turn it over to Policy Officer Matt Houston for additional background and support for this ANPR.
Thank you, Kelly. Good morning, Chairman Harper, Vice Chairman Hopman, and Board Member Otska. It's an honor to be here today and present this material to you all. As Kelly mentioned, we are here to present for your approval an ANPR on the topic of NCUA Regulations Part 749, Records Preservation Program, and its two appendices, Records Retention Guidelines and Catastrophic Act Preparedness Guidelines. The ANPR we present today was developed by the NCUA in part due to recent feedback we received from a small credit union committee. Specifically, we learned that several small credit unions find Part 749 to be confusing and increasingly costly, and unclear as to whether the appendices included in this regulation are requirements or guidance. While Section 749.0b states Appendix A and Appendix B provide guidance concerning appropriate length of time credit unions should retain various types of records and for developing a program for responding to catastrophic act, we understand credit unions may be confused as to whether these appendices are requirements given their inclusion in NCUA's regulations. In addition to the helpful feedback from the industry, the NCUA identified Part 749 as an area potentially in need of updating in recent years. Part 749 has not been substantially updated since it was established in August 2001. Since then, there have been significant changes in credit union operations, including an increased reliance on technology and the accelerated demand for digital products, services, and technologies for operations and membership. There have also been changes to formats, methods, and practices credit unions use to store their records in accordance with the requirements of Part 749. As a result, we are recommending approval and issuance of this AMPR to allow the NCUA to seek input from stakeholders and to better understand and analyze specific costs or issues that may exist regarding Part 749. This feedback, as well as information the NCUA received or gathers, will allow the board to determine whether to propose updates to the rule. This AMPR is broken out into four sections with 20 total questions within these sections on which we would like feedback from the industry. Section A requests input from stakeholders on recommended changes to the definitions and what, if any, minimum retention period should be incorporated in Part 749. Section B relates to record retention practices and requests credit unions provide what processes they are currently using to comply with Part 749. In this section, we ask about any impediments encountered in complying with the rule, feedback on documents that should be retained permanently, suggested timeframes for retention for other documents, and other program framework suggestions. Section C incorporates four questions to clarify what stakeholders have understood to be regulation versus guidance in the appendices of Part 749. It has been a long-standing agency practice to incorporate guidance into an appendix of the rule. However, we are interested to learn whether the structure in Part 749, particularly Appendix A, the inclusion of Appendix A and Appendix B, is confusing, or if alternative approaches for providing guidance in this area would provide a benefit to credit unions. We would also like input on what content should be incorporated in future guidance related to records retention and catastrophic act preparedness. The last section, Section D, is one question related to whether records retention provisions and other NCUA regulations should be incorporated in Part 749. We would like input from stakeholders on whether specific document retention requirements and other regulations should be included as a vital record in Part 749. In conclusion, our primary goal with this AMPR is to collect information from stakeholders, give the NCUA insight into existing and potential records preservation methods, systems, and technologies. This feedback would be used to enhance any potential future Part 749 rulemaking efforts. Thus, we are requesting the board approve the issuance of this AMPR to allow stakeholders to provide their feedback and recommendations regarding Part 749 appendices. Thank you for your time. We will be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Matt, for that detailed presentation and for Kelly and Gira for being at the table to help answer any questions about this advance notice of proposed rulemaking related to Part 749, which covers the NCUA's records preservation program requirements. It's important that federally insured credit unions maintain a robust records preservation program, a program whereby vital records can be readily reconstructed. Maintaining vital records is central to a credit union's ability to properly serve its members and to the NCUA's ability to fulfill its supervisory, enforcement, and even liquidation functions. It's also important for credit unions to understand the necessary legal requirements and the agency's guidance about records preservation. Part 749, was last updated about 15 years ago. Times change, technology changes. There are modern needs and best practices that should be incorporated in policies for records retention and preservation. For these reasons alone, I support this advance notice of proposed rulemaking and welcome comments from all stakeholders on how the NCUA can update, modernize, and streamline its records preservation program regulations and accompanying guidance. Before I wrap up, I do have a few questions for staff. First, would you provide a few examples of what constitutes vital records? That is, what records must a credit union preserve and why?
Yeah, I'll take that question. A few examples of vital records include members' share and loan records, bank account information and reconcilements, insurance policies, and emergency contact information. You can find a list of these vital records in Section 749.1 of the regulation. regarding why a credit union must preserve these records, they are viewed as essential so a credit union could identify and reconstruct its vital records to promptly restore operations in case these records are destroyed. For example, several credit unions experienced an outage due to a cyber incident in late 2023. By maintaining vital records, such as a list of member account balances, those credit unions were able to continue servicing their members. I'll also share another good example that highlights why we ask questions related to third-party vendors in this AMPR. A credit union in New Jersey, impacted by Hurricane Ida, had significant damage to its building and equipment and operated out of another local federal credit union for a few months. Since all the credit union's files were wet, they used a third-party freeze-and-dry company for restoration. That concludes my response.
And Matt, that's really helpful. I can also think of a credit union that ultimately had to be liquidated after Hurricane Katrina because all of its paper files and all of its records were flooded. It really does emphasize the point that a credit union needs these vital records in order to continue its work. Second, would you provide an example of current industry standards or methodologies that should be considered for preserving vital records?
Thank you, Chairman. I'll take that question. I think a good example of that is storing your vital records electronically and having a backup such as the cloud that can be accessed to get a credit union back up and running. But that's really, I think your question highlights the information that we are seeking in this AMPR to really determine what some of those standards and methodologies are that exist out there in the industry so that we can plan to use that information to better help inform any future work that we do in this regulation. Thank you. That concludes my response.
Ellie, thank you so much for that information. And finally, with respect to Part 749 compliance, what has the NCUA done to make records retention more efficient?
Thank you, Chairman. I'll take this question. To improve the efficiency of a credit union's record retention program, the NCUA has issued guidance in Part 749, Appendix A, concerning suggested guidelines for record retention, and Appendix B to guide credit unions in developing a program for responding to a catastrophic act. Also, our NCUA.gov website includes a page to aid credit unions in efficiently managing their records retention program. In addition, Section 749.4 of the rule allows credit unions to preserve records in any format, as long as they can be used to reconstruct their records. This flexibility in the rule, as well as the agency's guidance in the appendices and on our website, promote efficient records retention practices. That concludes my response. Thank you.
Thank you again, Matt, Kelly, and Gira. And thank you to everyone in the Office of Examination and Insurance and the Office of General Counsel who worked on this item. That concludes my remarks, and I now recognize Vice Chairman Hauptmann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Kelly and Matt, for the presentation, and Gira for being available for questions. I want to also thank Kelly for taking the time to look into the impact of NCUA's regulations on records preservation as they're currently written. And I definitely want to thank the leaders of small credit unions, which I think are the reason we're here. We had a meeting a few months back. These are small credit unions. They brought up a few actionable items. And I believe that meeting and then our subsequent ones and discussions with Kelly are why we're here today. My point is a broader one, that we actually do listen and there is a point to talk to us and it can actually have value. So I think there are only maybe three or four credit union leaders on that call we had, but they're going to wind up helping thousands of other people. So I want to thank those folks. They did a real job, and I want to thank our staff for that. That meeting bringing something to our attention actually is going to bring real results to a lot of people. So, to wit, the crush of regulatory burden weighs more heavily on small credit unions. We cannot talk about financial inclusion or talk about helping small credit unions unless we're doing the sort of things we're doing here today, providing clarity that frees up scarce resources to focus on their actual credit union members. If you go to the extreme, regulatory burden is often cited as a reason why otherwise healthy credit unions merge out of existence. You know what's worse than a regulatory burden? Finding out you're doing things that your regulator didn't even need you to do. We found out credit unions were storing boxes of records from decades ago because they thought that we at NCUA wanted to. And we're aware that other agencies, et cetera, may require records, but they said, we thought you wanted. Some were paying for storage facilities. And unfortunately, it made sense to do all of this hoarder-like record retention. Because as long as you get in trouble for not having a document, and you never get in any trouble for having extra documents, the behavior is fairly obvious. Credit unions and banks talk about this with suspicious activity reports, why they file so many. They never get in trouble for filing too many. They only get in trouble for not filing one. Their behavior obviously flows from that. Yesterday, and I wish you thought of it earlier, we had the idea to email two people and ask about their specific credit union's records practices. Got a couple photos at 5:30 p.m. last night. Slide, please. Fries, you got a slide? All right. This is what we got back last night, 5:30. Just see on the right how deep. This is just one credit union, which, by the way, is not particularly large. I can say it's under $100 million in assets, okay? They're paying for this. You can see the yellow gold papers. And so if someone says, you know, these days we have cloud storage, just scan it. Well, anyone that thinks the answer is just scan it hasn't had to go through all those. And even if you will scan, wouldn't it be a pain to find out you scanned 100 boxes of documents and you only had to scan 5? You have to often do it one at a time for old crinkled documents because you have to get the whole document. Otherwise, why are you retaining it? You can even see, if any of you are old enough to remember the old dot matrix printers, you literally can't feed them in a stack into a modern scanner. They have those perforated edges on the side with the holes in it. You have to pull them off. I just looked it up. That's called continuous feed paper. And so it's not very easy to do. Nobody can argue the need for keeping records. It's important. It's important for NCUA. It's important for the credit union. If I was a new credit union CEO, I'd want them to have good practices. It's very helpful for new management. But we, after 15 years, it's time to reevaluate the unforeseen effects of Part 749 as it's currently written. Even if they are maintaining documents digitally, do they have to do that? That costs money too. This agency pays for cloud storage as well. We get it. And I will say that those boxes, to credit the small guy, it's piles of old boxes that probably the people who put the ones in the back don't work there anymore. And I'll say, I had a storage unit. This is more organized than the one I had. And I want to thank the couple of people at NCUA that cleaned out our supply closets in the hallway on this floor. I could tell you they were a lot messier than that. So even if you have the wherewithal to digitize, do we actually need to digitize papers from 1985 because you think NCUA? If the unintended consequences of a regulation run counter to what was intended, a responsible regulator will reevaluate and adjust. Many of you know that NCUA annually reviews 1/3 of its regs for updates over 3 years. That means all of them are addressed. On many occasions, the agency has taken that opportunity to clarify, reevaluate the impact of the regulations. Today's action is an example of that. And although I do want to take credit for bringing this to the board's attention, I'll take credit for that. I want to clarify that I don't think that the reg was written wrong. I don't think it was written incorrectly. I think back then I may well have written the exact same thing. It's just the result of it and the incentives that it winds up giving to any regulated institution. And one more thing, we talk a lot about how important it is for small credit unions to have, any credit union, but particularly small credit unions to have succession planning. Well, one way we can help with that as an agency is make the job more appealing. Records retention is the example of the straw that can break the camel's back. It's one of the many important but tedious requirements that can make running a small credit union less attractive than it could otherwise be. Thus, right-sizing the regulatory burden is one way that NCUA can make it easier for credit unions to survive once a longtime CEO retires. The job shouldn't have to be a labor of love. NCUA can't control what records a credit union is required for their state or other agencies. But we can reduce unnecessary burden by ensuring our rules are clear and do not require more than is needed. And so the next step here is we're going to look for ideas from the public on what should we actually write? What will actually help that, right? That's what a credit union is going to want. So we can find ideas that reduce the cost make it less so people are digging through old heavy documents. You probably don't need anything that uses the dot matrix printer, but we need to actually publish something. The good news is we can probably get some easy ideas from other agencies. Just second slide, Franz, please. From my Wall Street days, I remember everything was 7 years. Okay, this is from the SEC. This is kind of what we're looking at. 7 years records, and then they say what exactly that means. 7 years. Okay, I remember anything we wrote, even in our Bloomberg chats, was 7 years, right? And you knew that, right? This is just an example. It happens across government. If you filed your taxes on Monday, the IRS, just so you know, is you are supposed to only have 3 years worth of records to back up that 2023 return. If they audit your 2023 return, they can ask you for information related to your 2023, 2022, and 2021. The IRS itself is published. We're not going to ask you about 2015 records. Okay. It's the exact same reason. It's the same reason that in criminal justice, there's a statute of limitations for most things. Because over time, memories fade, things get lost, people die. And in terms of which year they can audit, just so you guys know, Chairman Harper, you're off the hook from 2017 and earlier, just so you know. They could only even audit the last 7 years from when you filed it, at least, okay?
Goodness.
Yeah, right? So thanks again for the staff working this. I just have one question, which is what I alluded to. I think credit unions, you know, the people who sent that photo in are going to be like, oh man, I'm glad they're doing this. What happens next? They can't, after this meeting, go and throw out the old stuff just yet. What is the next step?
I can take that question, Vice Chairman. So what happens next is really a question for the board. Today's action is an advance notice of proposed rulemaking to solicit feedback from commenters and stakeholders. And we expect to get robust feedback, which can then inform any future action that the board decides to take. And that could be well be a notice of proposed rulemaking, but that would be a future action.
Somebody wants to send us a link, an idea. Can they do that today?
They can.
Okay.
They can provide feedback all the time, just as you received feedback.
Yeah, that's right.
Prior to
do you have an easy idea that would also serve NCUA's purposes? We do need records kept. KHoutman, NCUA.gov. But a lot of things, the notice comment period, it has an official start date, it has an official end date, and the comments are public.
Yeah.
Anyone can email or call anybody anytime. But so if someone today is hearing about this, they can send something in today to whom?
They could send comments into the NCUA on our website, but specifically in response to this ANPR, this document, once the board,
approves it,
it will be published in the Federal Register, and we provide specific instructions for how the public can comment.
Okay.
And it's a transparent process available to all.
But if it is top of mind for anybody out there who watches this or hears about it, there's nothing stopping anybody every time for calling or emailing, say, here's an idea, here's what my state regulator does, you know, something like that. If it's top of mind, that's the time to take action. I'm pleased that I believe all three board members are supporting this item, and that I believe all three board members know how important it is to not make the life of a small credit union CEO any harder than it has to be. And I think the board is all in agreement that we know that sometimes regulations can make that less attractive. That when a little credit union goes away and that field of membership loses their own credit union, sometimes that's because government has made the job harder than it needs to be. That concludes my remarks. Back to Chairman Harper.
Thank you, Vice Chairman. Board Member Otsuka.
Thanks, Chair Harper, and thank you to the Vice Chairman for his comments. I guess before we get into the substance, I just want to thank Chairman Harper for his remarks at the top about welcoming my new senior policy advisor, Renita. Also want to thank the Vice Chairman and his office, who have been very welcoming to my new staff. So just thank you all. It's great to have them part of the team. So Kelly, Matt, I really appreciate your presentation. And Gira, thank you for being here to answer any other questions. Thanks to all the staff for their work on this ANPR. Sound record retention practices, you know, not a topic often discussed, but critical to ensuring the continuity and longevity of credit unions and the credit union system as a whole. The purpose of these important rules and guidance is to make sure that credit unions, especially smaller ones, can continue running in the event of a natural disaster or some other catastrophic or unforeseeable event. I think that is really the point of these rules and guidance, is so that credit unions can continue their operations and serve their members. The pandemic and its aftermath, for example, showed us how important it is for credit unions to have prudent business continuity practices and fail-safes. Additionally, as the frequency and intensity of weather-related events like wildfires, hurricanes, floods, and cyber-related security threats continue to increase, it's even more important that the NCUA is clear about what is needed to ensure credit unions can withstand risks to their business operations so they can continue to serve their members when they need it the most. To that end, we strongly encourage credit unions, members, advocates, other stakeholders to weigh in on what current practices are working or not, and where the NCUA can provide clearer direction on which records should be retained, for how long, in what format, and for what purpose. As institutions move away from paper filing systems, as my colleagues have pointed to, you know, they're starting to explore cloud computing and other electronic means of storing data. This rule is ripe for updating. And we need to understand what, you know, we want to have a better sense of the feedback that we're going to get from all stakeholders that will be impacted by record retention policies. You know, I think there is a shift away from paper, but, you know, as we all know, electronic is not infallible either. And so it's important that institutions and the NCUA and others really think through, you know, what do I really need? What is really needed for business operations and continuity? Credit union members should also feel empowered to provide their experiences dealing with credit unions during the pandemic, during natural disasters, or other events that caused lapses in credit union continuity. Members actually have a unique perspective on how well their credit unions can continue to offer services and allow members to access their funds quickly during these types of emergencies. Credit unions exist to serve their members and their broader community, which is also central to the NCUA's work. Getting feedback from the public is an important step towards making sure that credit unions are well prepared to continue serving their members. And that is why I support issuing the ANPR and appreciate your presentation. Just one question. And I think my colleagues alluded to this a little bit. So just if there's anything to add that you hadn't already said, how will NCUA use this information obtained through the ANPR that we get in response?
Thank you, Board Member Otska, for the question. Yes, so we will use the feedback that we get from stakeholders to evaluate whether NCUA should consider updating things like the vital records definitions or preservation program requirements. So some of the things that are in the regulation currently, how we might want to change that, whether additional guidance is needed, and then it'll be up to the board to determine those next steps.
Okay, great. Thank you. And I just want to say, I know this has been discussed, but, you know, I think it was Matt, you responded to this earlier, about the importance of vital records and what it means for credit unions when they're, you know, they need to continue their business operations and they can, in case something, that, you know, catastrophic happens. You know, you mentioned a few examples. I've also heard some examples, not just cyber events or cyber incidents, but flooding where records are destroyed, even domestic terrorist acts, you know, the tragedy in Oklahoma City, in the 90s, you know, credit unions may have been impacted by that, and preserving vital records allowed them to continue to operate their institution and serve their members. So, you know, I think we need to really understand how to continue that purpose of why we keep these records and why vital records are so important, while understanding what best practices are right now and what will allow institutions to continue to serve their members in these types of events. Thank you.
Indeed, Board Member Otska, there was a credit union that was operating in the Murrow Building during Oklahoma City that had to reestablish its records. And that's, it's a very hard task to go about. And certainly a task we all need to prepare for. We hope that it would never will happen, but we need to be ready in case it does. With that, Vice Chairman Hauptmann, is there a motion?
Yes, sir. I move that the board approve advance notice of proposed rulemaking, Part 749, Records Preservation Program, for a 60-day comment period as attached to the board action memorandum.
Is there a second?
Second.
There is a sufficient second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed say nay. The ayes have it, and let the record show the motion passed 3-0. That is the end of our agenda today. There being no further business, we are hereby adjourned. Thank you all for attending.
This concludes the April board meeting. If your credit union could use assistance with your exam, reach out to Mark Treichel on LinkedIn or at marktreichel.com. This is Samantha Shares, and we thank you for listening.